Hello, hello,
Hi. Oh, there we are. Hold on. Buttons. Hi. I'm
hello.
sorry if I'm running late. Been
Oh,
late.
no problem.
It's been
Not a
a block,
problem.
and everyone gets chatty.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. It's good to see your face. Thank you so much for taking the time for me. I appreciate it.
I'm here all day, so I just wait and wait. I have no problem with that.
In the immortal words of Tom Petty, the waiting is the hardest part. So,
But it's
thank you for.
all worth it. Let's throw it back to August last year, Ocean Casino Resort. You were doing a show for us with Volbeat. We did a little meet and greet in the lobby. You gave me maybe greatest radio memory I'll ever have when you sang with one of our most loyal listeners, probably the biggest Hailstorm fan I know. Name is Aldos. He
Oh
still
yes.
talks about it to this day.
Oh, I
And
remember that. That's awesome.
it was so sweet. And I don't know if there will be a radio memory that will ever top that again.
Oh, I'm so glad. That's I appreciate it. Hey man, I'm in the business of smiles. And if I can do more of that, it's almost like, a selfish move on my part because then I have great feelings all day, It's like that's kind of what we should be doing this for anyway, right? So
Absolutely. And I know just talking to you over the years, you're first and foremost, you're a music fan. I
oh
know
yeah.
you're in the business, but I know you still love music and stuff. So I feel like you get it. And other memories we've had with you here. I mean, listen, the first time you did Nobody's Fool was at our birthday bash at the
I
House of Blues.
know.
And I'm sure I know your love for Tom Kiefer. So, I'm sure watching that for us was just a thrill for you being on stage doing it.
Oh, absolutely. It's all very much the more that I again, like I can't believe we're still doing this. We say that all the time. But how like it could have gone so easily the other way. Looking back and looking just kind of at the puzzle that has been, chaotically put together during this journey. It's so many moments just like that, and especially in the area, and people like you that it's so monumental. Those moments where you were like, oh, you put me in a situation where I'm like, oh my goodness, you're even taking the time to talk to me. That just blows my mind. And it's all of those things that have built have and the pieces that get put together for this monster that has been created. It's very much going back to the beginning. I feel like we find ourselves so much back, very much connected with our inner child and what's fun. Like we'd say this all the time, like we like to get in the sandbox and play. Like, okay, I brought my Legos, you brought a pony, somebody brought a rocket. Let's try to get it to space. Like what can we build? It's so much like that. And the love for it is not, I mean, let me kind of break it down for a second. Just because I am lucky enough to call this my career doesn't mean that my inner self that is still in the basement of my parents' garage writing my little songs with my four-track Tascam cassette recorder is not still alive and well. It's still everything that I approach, whether it be music or not, is still very much that person, regardless of whatever of the accolades or the things that I can kind of kick off my bucket list that I've accomplished. It's kind of like the afterthought. That's the icing on the cake. Like, wow, I actually get to pay my mortgage with this too. Wow, that's crazy. But the most important thing is that I get to do what I love with the people I love with no real end in sight or end planned. We liken it a lot to when somebody says, well, my goal is gonna to, is to climb Mount Everest, right? Everybody looks at you like you're nuts. Like, what's going on? It's not like there's a trophy at the top or this like diploma, like, yay, you made it. There's bodies dead along the way. Like, everybody falls off the train somehow. For some reason, you still got to see what's happening at the
Yeah.
top. And that's all we're still trying to do,
I love that attitude. I mean, I feel that way about radio, that I just appreciate that I get to come in and do this. And like you said,
Yeah.
it helps me pay my mortgage and stuff. So
It's wild.
it's wild, but I get to play music and I get to talk to, you and some other musicians and stuff. You were talking about going back to the beginning and you still get to do this. I was doing some research on some years and I started looking at some of those EPs from back in the day. Forecast for the Future and Don't Mess with the Time Man and Breaking
Yep.
the Silence. One of the, you still have all those things? Do you still go back maybe and
I do. You know, the funny thing, I found all of my old tapes of like old demos and like practice tapes. Like we used to re like record our practices, like our rehearsals, so that we would, you know, when we were just playing the Rusty Nail in Harrisburg or whatever, you know, it was. It's like we would be doing that in my parents' basement, and I just found all those old tapes, and it's really strange to hear your like. Your teenage, like, you know, inner dialogue, like out on the mic, like when you're talking to the guys about like, oh, well, we have to make this moment happen and all that. Full circle, like the room behind me here is my basement here at my house. And about 2 weeks before we'll do like production rehearsal with lights and our crew, we get he together here and kind of recreate that, where it's like it's important for us to just get together with a shitty monitor system that feeds back and just plugging in and playing and doing songs. So yeah, I just found a lot of those, and it's yeah, I don't know, it's inspiring because regardless of whether some things were great, some things were not, there was always something there, and we were in it and we were doing it. I always say there's two things about the music business that no one wants to tell you. Number one, there are no actual rules. There's no rule book, there's no path. And number two, nobody actually knows what the hell they're doing. Even the most amazing, you know, like legendary musician that you can put on that seems like, oh, they just have their shit together. They don't. I guarantee it. That's just the way it is. But that's not the point. The point is not in the knowing or the accolades or the attention from fans that you're getting. It's in the doing. It's having the balls to show up. And regardless of whether you can or cannot do it anyway. Jump off the cliff and see what happens. So, yeah, that's still kind of our rhetoric.
Love that. So we got two shows actually. You're doing PNC Arts Center on July 26th. There's also
Yeah.
the Freedom Mortgage and Pavilion in Camden on September 21st. There are other radio shows that you're doing for that, but we're so far off the beaten path from them, but we're close to the venues. And I look at it, I don't look at radio as competition. I look at them as colleagues and friends. I know people at both those radio stations, and I have no problem, and I love to promote it, and I usually go to
Oh.
those. I don't look at it as competition. So we're happy that we get to promote both those shows and give tickets away and all that fun stuff. But
Oh,
I've
that's
noticed over the years, you're one of the bands, and correct me if I'm wrong. You'll record some music and then go on tour and then go back and do more of the record, then go back on tour and then go back. Is that hard? Because a lot of people, they do their tour cycle, they record a record, they go back out. You break it up, it seems like, over the years.
I like the juxtaposition of it, and for me, I actually prefer to do it that way because we've done that before, where it's like, okay, we have the list of songs, we go in, we record the record, and then we go out and play. Whereas, regardless of whether we're testing out new material live, it really does give us, because we're in that writing mode, it gives us a new perspective. Whereas, like every night before we go out on stage, especially, I mean, I do this anyway because I'm writing every single day because it's a sickness that I have. But you go out on stage and you're kind of subconsciously thinking, if I were to play that new song I just wrote tonight, how can I imagine that going? And then you go back in the studio with kind of a fresh brain of like, oh, that's what we should do in the bridge. Maybe this moment can be bigger. This is what we're going to be missing in that song. So it gives a nice break in the cycle. We're all a little we're all a little ADD, ADHD. There's a nice alphabet soup to hailstorm of all the different things. OCD, all ooh, shiny things, squirrel. You know, I feel like sometimes when you lock yourself in too hard, it's hard to see the forest from the trees and the bigger picture of what you're doing this for. So for me, it's just more enjoyable to do it that way. At the same time, scheduling becomes a little bit more difficult with that. So, yeah.
I've been reading interviews and listening to you in some interviews. You're talking about you feel like you're writing some of the best songs you've ever written. Like, so far as a new Hailstorm record, what can we expect and when can we expect?
Well, an album is just that. It's a snapshot of where you're at in your life, if you're doing it right. Because for me, I live multiple lifetimes per tour. I'm never the same person walking out my door as I come back in. So, like the difference I see with who I was when we were recording and writing Back from the Dead versus this new album that we're creating now is that with Back from the Dead, I needed to create kind of this sanctuary for myself and give myself a pep talk, remind myself of who I am. So what we ended up doing inadvertently on that album was doubling down on everything that made us Hailstorm. Here's the high notes, here's the wall of the guitars, here's this, and here's this twist of phrase. And now with this album, I'm in this kind of beautiful spot in my life, and call it, you know, age or whatever it is, but I'm very connected to my beginnings, very much, you know, the guardian of my inner personal child. And it's now I'm more comfortable, not necessarily even just doubling down on what we are, but more peeling back the onion, as in, oh, here's something that you haven't heard me say before that I have in me that maybe I wasn't comfortable enough in my 20s or my early 30s to say. And I know I tout myself as an open book. I don't really leave any stone unturned, but in the spirit of learning more about yourself and giving myself permission to be flawed and to knock myself off the pedestal and to give myself, to challenge myself just for the sake of challenging myself, not because I feel the need to do anything for an existing fan base or for label or for radio play. It's more just, again, it's the four of us. We all have a house that has been put aside for this album in Savannah, Georgia. Whereas if you can imagine, four kids from central Pennsylvania that are locked in a house together with all the equipment and musical instruments you could ever need, unsupervised, except for occasionally a producer popping in. If you can imagine what those songs sound like, that's what the new album is going to be. Because it's just
looking forward to it.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, speaking of a snapshot of your life, I to bring up, you're going to be singing with Skid Row. I mean, I saw Skid Row on their first tour open up for Bon Jovi 3 times when I was 12.
What?
That first record is like part of my DNA. I have listened to that over and over and over again. So, yeah, I saw 4 shows. I heard you said probably more shows. I hope that comes over to the East Coast. You got to have nerves,
so
I'm sure.
Absolutely. Well, it's interesting how it came about. So I've known Rachel and Snake for the better part of a decade now. And we were at a mutual birthday party for a mutual friend's birthday party with each other. And so we're talking about what we got coming up, the things happening, you know, as you do. And then Rachel Boland turns to me and he's like, hey, Lizzie, I've been meaning to ask you, would you ever consider getting up with us and fronting our band for a couple shows? Like, we got some stuff going on and I'm not quite sure what to do. And so, of you know, he's my buddy. So I'm like, oh, dude, of course, call me anytime. I'll see if I can work it out and what with your dates and everything. So 2 weeks later, he calls me up and he's like, hey, I'm calling your bluff. Were you serious about that? Because this shit is happening now. And I need to know. So, you know, I get on the phone with the adults, like with management and everybody. And I'm like, hey, like, here's some dates that they really need me for. I'd love to do this, you know, not just for my own personal, like, oh my God, it's Skid Row, but these are my buddies and I want to help them out. And so we cleared my schedule. We got the dates locked. And then when they announced it and they announced, you know, the leaving of Eric and then me stepping in, we all just kind of got on the phone together afterward. We're like, can you believe this? This is becoming something so much bigger than all of us just saying, hey, let's do this. It's like, I'm hearing from people, all my Jersey friends and everything that I haven't like seen in like a 15 years. Oh my gosh. You know, I have a daughter now. I'm bringing her out to see the show. It's because I have not seen like any negative feedback. Everybody is just treating this like this is this beautiful event that we get to look forward to. So it's really crazy. And yeah, for me, the pressure is different because this is not just me getting up and singing with some guys and guesting at a show. And this is not me taking a Skid Row song and covering it in my own way. This is me treating it like it's an Olympic sport. I am on the stationary bike every morning with the Skid Row sets, singing, going over all the inflections. And for me, my mission is to honor these songs and this legacy and learning everything, all the ins and outs of how to deliver these songs, because that's what their fans deserve for me. And also, if again, I have to be the ringleader. I have to be the host of the party for a band that not only their legend preceding mine, but another band besides Hailstorm. You know, I don't think I've never really done that before. So it's that, and then it's full circle. Like, this is the band that raised me. Like, in the 90s, I was into Skid Row, Cinderella, Dio, and Alice Cooper. That was my, Black Sabbath. Those were my ABCs of rock and roll. And then shortly after that, listening to, stations like yourself and back in PA, I got into Seven Dust and Disturbed and Tool. So I can really trace back everything that we are and the rocker that I am back to those roots. So I joke with the guys. I'm like, Rachel, it's like you guys finally got my audition tape that I sent in the mail in like 1996. Can I be your front person? It's crazy. So I'm very much looking forward to it.
That's awesome. Well, I hope there are more dates and we get to see this on the East Coast. PNC, Freedom Mortgage Pavilion, we got you this summer. Gonna enjoy seeing you guys out there. Looking forward to new music. By the way, as I'm sitting here talking to you and I look behind me, I didn't realize this was still here. But
Uh-oh.
we still have the Do Not Disturb thing
Oh, that's
that you
awesome.
got I saw a few years ago. It's sitting back there all the time. I look back, I'm like, wait a minute, she's right there.
Everybody needs one of those, I'll keep one in my back pocket always. That is
I
awesome.
appreciate you taking the time. You've done a lot for WMGM over the years, and we look forward to hopefully having you. Not, I mean, it's great you're here coming here in Jersey. We got you back in Atlantic City again. We finally did last
Absolutely.
year, and yeah, create more memories and all that fun stuff. So I
Oh,
wish you all the best.
absolutely. And if you head out to any of the shows, make sure let's make sure and we hook up. I'd love to hug you in person, And again, thank you so much for everything that you have done over the years and even just the small things like caring enough to talk with me today. It's not lost on us how important that has been for everything that we've become and what we'll do in the future. So just appreciate it, buddy.
Looking forward to the future. Lizzie, all the best. We'll see you out on the road. You take care.
Oh, thank you, Sean, so much.
Take care. Bye-bye. Love you.
Thanks, darling.